Welcome to another of our year in review series on Tantramar Report. Today we have with us Paul Henderson, the newly appointed director of Strutt's Gallery in Sackville, and Emily Falvey, director of the Owens Art Gallery in Sackville. Welcome, Paul and Emily.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
I wanted to start off asking you about some of your favorite shows this year in Sackville, or some of your favorite art experiences, let's say. Paul, I know you've just been here since August, so you've got about half a year down, but yeah. Have you had any standouts in 2021 in Sackville?
Standouts in 2021. Very topical, but the last couple of things that have happened this fall are really, really exciting in terms of, I think the Anatorma show at the Owens Art Gallery is pretty amazing. And then I was really happy with our Heart and Pocket review, the craft fair we did in collaboration with the Owens as well. It was just a really, special and needed event for the community. And then just because I've been dealing with it the last few weeks, the member show at Strutt's Gallery, the holiday show is sort of an annual thing they weren't able to do last year as well. It's just a really nice sort of manifestation of the community, a big group show. I think there's 37 artists participated, and just a really eclectic mix. But it's just great to have a bunch of people out, a bunch of people participate, and then being able to support the artists with a bit of sales as well before the holiday break was pretty great.
And the Heart and Pocket is also, I guess this is a year of sort of things reviving in a way. And the Heart and Pocket is also something that's revived after a number of years. Is that right?
The Heart and Pocket used to happen always with a handmade assembly, and a handmade assembly came to an end sort of during the pandemic, although Paul and I are still working on a publication that's going to be sort of like the final iteration of a handmade assembly. But the Heart and Pocket was something that was easy to carry forward, and that was like a really great community event as well. And I have to agree with Paul, it was just such a lovely thing to do. It made me really happy to see, to have this kind of like feeling of, oh, we can gather. And it was fleeting, of course, because now we're back in a situation where that kind of event is no longer possible.
The timing is very fortuitous. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it was also like everybody who was involved in that, like the vendors and also the people that came, there was like 400 people who came through that event, were just really happy to be there, and you could feel it. And I think for me, like, those are the moments that this year that I'm going to remember, were these like moments where you could feel like there was a need for something and it was being fulfilled, even though it might not have been like, a big exhibition or like what you would normally consider like exciting, but it was just like these smaller moments where it was like, I don't know, we're coming, because it is, this year was supposed to be a reopening year, but it wasn't really. It's been this bizarre kind of interim situation, almost like worse than the first year in some way, because at least the first year of the pandemic, we kind of were like, oh, this is, there was no expectation that it would be normal. I think,
right. Mm-hmm.
And like we made it, like, I don't, the Strutt's and the Owens just decided, well, we're not going to be able to open, and so we just moved forward in that way. And this year it's been like kind of between those two situations. I guess this is what everyone in Ontario went through, where they were opening and closing and opening and closing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really proud of like the things that Owens and Strutt's have been able to accomplish given all of the uncertainty. And like, I feel like, I don't know how you feel about this, Paul, but I feel like we managed to like keep art happening and keep our community together and keep our audiences and our, supporters invested. At least that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think like what you all did with Dave and Rula in the beginning in terms of the umbrella projects, like it's kind of the best you could hope for. And we are in it. I think I mentioned it to someone yesterday, but like the fact that our funders were really quite supportive too, in terms of allowing us to pivot and be flexible but with how we were going to spend money, and just make sure that we kind of got money out to artists and like funded projects. And like we're in the, it's a pretty luxurious position really as arts programmers, because that in the sense like none of it matters in this, in one sense, not that it doesn't matter, but like it's not life or death, you know. But we're able to kind of like bring some joy and some economic structure to some people's lives and like still try to create these interesting moments of joy and engagement in a very weird time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, like the Heart and Pocket stands out for me, but like the Owens also did a catalog giveaway. And I mean, that it was just so nice to have so many people come in and like look through the books, and you could tell that they were, this was making their day. And I don't know, those kinds of things I feel are really important right now. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like, sorry, like coming back, like I kind of hoped, and part of the reason I wanted to take the job, because I had hoped we were going to be moving sort of fully opening and sort of post pandemic, which it's obviously not, but I really wanted to really just make or re-engage with Struts as a community place, you know, where it's not just about shows necessarily, but it is a community center, and it's a resource for young artists and emerging artists and people to gather and exchange ideas and books or whatever it may be.
Sackville has a very healthy art scene. Emily, I want to get to your favorites in a sec, but I'm just going to go with this question. It seems to me it sort of punches above its weight a bit in terms of the art scene here. Do you find, I'm curious though, in our region and in Moncton in particular, do you go farther afield to, you know, to see or experience art? Like how wide a range do you each take when you're exploring what's going on in New Brunswick?
Well, I haven't been able to. I mean, honestly, it's just been, sure. I made it to St. John. That was, but every time I tried to go anywhere, like I have a family, I have kids, like mm-hmm. it's just been a real drag from that perspective. I don't feel like I've had a chance to like, I mean, Moncton, I've been to Moncton a couple of times to see some art, but just going out and seeing exhibitions is just like, even that's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really haven't. I've been to the Aberdeen Center once since I've been here, and that's the only other thing. Luckily, I was able to see a few things there, like a bigger collective space or multiple organization space. But yeah, that was pretty minor.
Yeah, in a normal year, you know, we would be going to Charlottetown, we would be going to Halifax, we'd be going to, you know, Moncton, Fredericton. I mean, not every day or every week or every month, but there would be some, like, it's just not. And then I'm sure Paul and I would travel outside. I mean, I think that's important too. We have to, you know, like, you know, there has to be, we have to bring, you know, New Brunswick artists to the rest of the country, and then also bring artists from the rest of the country to New Brunswick. Like, I think that's an important role that we both play.
Yeah. I think there's also a thing that happens sometimes. I know personally, like when you're programming things like every second weekend or some evenings and then weekends, when it comes to your own weekend, it's nice to kind of actually just do regular things or catch up on your own, like in my own practice, or, you know, Emily's got a family, etc. You know, there's always things you've got to do. So.
If you're in a gallery all the time, you don't necessarily spend all your free time in other galleries.
Yeah.
I get it. A couple of years into this pandemic, do you feel like the state of affairs in arts in New Brunswick is, you know, how are we doing? Are we doing well? Are artists, you know, are people suffering? Are we, what's going on? And what should we be doing better, I guess?
I think that New Brunswick doesn't understand how important artists and art and culture is to its, like, future success, and like especially economic success. And I mean, I don't know, there was a report out not that long ago, it kind of flew under the radar, talking about some of these things. So I don't know, I don't think I think artists need to be supported more. And I don't think that they are given credit for, you know, the sort of direction that New Brunswick has gone in the last couple of years. It's more like the, like a lot of the immigration and some of the sort of things that people are associating with, I don't know, with benefits of the pandemic, maybe. Like, I feel like the artists and, I mean, I feel like New Brunswick is sort of being gentrified in some weird way. I don't know if I can say that. I'm going to get myself into trouble here, but I feel like the same feeling that I had living in Montreal in this particular neighborhood that was like, you know, you can sort of, artists come and make places interesting and then people want to move to those places. And I think this is what's happened in New Brunswick, and it would be good to acknowledge and support those artists so that they don't leave.
Yeah. Having been away for 6 or 7 years and then come back, I would say I've noticed that there is a bit more of a maturity to the, a bit of the infrastructure, like the, with ArtsMB, the provincial funding, or like the provincial government or organizational funding, maybe less so, but ArtsLink and just, I mean, it's really hard to actually evaluate, but just from social media and the kind of newsletters going out, there seems to be a, yeah, I would describe it as a maturity to some of that support and infrastructure in some ways, which is nice to see. I think no matter what, you're in a province that is always going to be dealing with a bit of a talent drain. And just kind of, I always have used this example, or like, my theory about New Brunswick not ever fully developing is partly to do with the sort of the division of three, like capital cities sort of thing, like just without creating one center. Like, I think it's, I think it creates some interesting things, but I think it's also doesn't create the sort of the impact or the economic or the cultural, yeah, and just sort of the mm-hmm. impact, I guess.
There's not like a
divided and conquered somewhat.
No.
But I think all that stuff can actually like come into be pretty interesting. And John Clater, a local artist, is always talking about the best thing New Brunswick's got going for it is that it is sort of undeveloped, or maybe it did. And that's sort of what maybe you're speaking to, Emily, but it's just like, there's nobody here and there's not a lot of things, and that is a great, you know, maybe a good thing, and that sort of has kept some of the gentrification at bay for a while,
I suppose. But I don't think that there's nobody here. I think there's always been people here. No. I mean, I think there's still a huge issue around getting information about the people who are here out into the rest of the country.
Yeah,
that's you know, like that was like, that was always my problem with Canadian Art Magazine. And then here to discover that the history of Canadian Art Magazine is that it started with the Maritime Artists Association, which was started by Walter Abel and Elizabeth McLeod, Mount A. Oh God, I'm getting all these names wrong, but that it started as Maritime Art Magazine. And then it became Canadian Art thereafter. But I feel like the history of, like, you know, some of these national institutions and their link to the Atlantic isn't, you know, that was a huge surprise to me. And I'm an art critic. Like, I've written for Canadian Art. So all this to say that, yes, there have been people here doing stuff always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, without the critical mass of a singular city, I guess the profile is lower. So people fly under the radar a lot more easily.
I think so. I think that's part of it. I mean, I don't think that's the only reason, but I think, like, yeah, are they, I don't know. It just seems like in the Atlantic region, like Newfoundland has always created its own sort of identity, partly because it's an island, partly because it was its own country for a long time. And then you sort of have Halifax and NASCAT has created this, you know, something that's been felt nationally or internationally. And I think New Brunswick has struggled to do that somewhat. I think, like, there's definitely pockets, and I think Sackville itself has probably in more way, or like beyond the other centers or the other organizations in town or in the region. I think Sackville has probably been, has transcended the national spectrum more so than the rest of the province in a lot of ways, partly due to,
I don't know. I mean, Paul, like the latest person to be nominated for a SOBY award was an Acadian artist. So like, I think we have to like acknowledge that there's a whole scene of Acadian artists that have like, you know, like the Saint Laurents. I think that there's, I mean, I think that, but Sackville and Moncton, I want to like, like validate what you're saying. Like it's, Sackville's amazing. Yeah. But I don't know. I just don't want to, like.
Exclude.
Yeah.
So fair. It's not like poor New Brunswick kind of thing.
No, I'm going to cheerlead for New Brunswick.
Yeah. It's also this slippery slope. Like in, I mean, I got to be careful again what I say, but like years ago, like in the early 2000s, I lived in the Yukon, and there was this arts community that was very, very insular and sort of self-congratulatory, and there was this, as long as you made anything consistently, you got kind of a big show eventually, regardless of the quality, and all the work was like the Yukon, about the Yukon, and it was all really kind of boring too, a lot of it, like it just didn't connect to any national conversations, and it just kind of, I was just kind of like wondering like why people were making anything, like it seemed there was sort of a disregard too to anybody who was trying to actually create contemporary work that engaged with issues that might go beyond the borders of the Yukon. This is totally a tangent.
Are you concerned that New Brunswick cultivates that same kind of vibe?
I think it could. Yeah. Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
let me break from this for this sort of like downward spiral we're taking with New Brunswick on the art scene. But Emily, like, let's bring it back up and talk about looking back on 2021, some of your favorite things you've seen, be it in the Owens or Struts or anywhere.
Well, I think I sort of was trying to like say that in the beginning when I was talking about like some of the smaller things, but or like the kind of moments where I felt a sense of community, because I think that that's sort of what kept me going. But I appreciate what Paul said about Anna Torma's exhibition. It's so wonderful to have that show here, and also to have Anna get some recognition, because there's a New Brunswick, like an artist in New Brunswick who's had a tremendous career and had the, you know, won the Governor General's Award in 2020, so wasn't able to be celebrated like in the way that she really should have been, like that exhibition opened in Toronto and none of us could go. And so it's wonderful to have it here and to see it at the Owens. So that is really like that's definitely a highlight for me. Like, I think, you know, Struts is amazing. I loved working with Dave and Rula. I love working with Paul. I love that partnership. And I think that is something that Umbrella Projects kind of grew out of, and a handmade assembly was a part of, but like the relationship between Owens and Struts is like pretty unique as far as I can tell. Like I don't know of another, there probably is, but I don't know of another relationship between a public gallery, university art gallery, and an artist run center that is as symbiotic, I guess. I've been in situations where the relationship is quite competitive. You know, when I was in Ottawa, I think it was more of a competitive type situation, and it's really, I don't know, I really value what Struts brings to the community. And I think, you know, like, Sackville is like Struts is a major artist run center. It's not just an artist run center. It's one of the bigger ones in the country. Like the Owens is the biggest rural art gallery in Canada. Like, it's, you know, Sackville is special. We need to acknowledge it.
We've got it going
special.
On.
Yeah, and it's special because of Struts and the Owens. And also we have a commercial art gallery. Like, we have all three in this little town of 5,000. That's really extraordinary.
Yeah. And they all have their own particular, like, I think we all work together, and there is some audience in community overlap, but they also, we've also sort of generated our own communities and our own audiences as well. And like Janet, as a customer base as well, you know, it's pretty, it's incredible. Like she's been, how long they've been operating that space too. And it's pretty awesome.
The other thing I want to say about Struts that I think is really important is that it's one of a very few, like a handful of legitimately like artist run organizations left in the country. And I think that that's really important because like when Struts says artist run, they mean artist run.
Yeah, the amount of job postings I see now for artist run centers, almost all of them are, the position is listed as director curator, and it's just something we've never done at Struts. No offense to the curators of the world, because I mean everybody is one now anyway, but it is like, and even just focusing on the pivot we made sort of 15 years ago towards production primarily is a rarity in the visual arts. And just like give people time really to experiment, to make things and pay them to do it. It's pretty, it is rare. I mean, I think you've seen a lot more residencies over COVID, or especially in this sort of transition phase, because it is a way for people to use their space without having to actually have audience there. But I think we'll probably see people go back to, more exhibitions as we move ahead.
Anyway. When you're looking, I mean, we're looking forward to 2022 here. We may be looking at a bit of a tightening of restrictions, but they're bound to open up again at some point. What have each of you got on tap that people should be aware of heading into this next year?
Well, we just, speaking of the residencies, we just posted our call for National Artists in Residence for starting next spring. So we'll see how that will unfold. We're not really sure, but we felt like it was worth it to try to get the word out in time. And then beyond that, who knows? I mean, we have all sorts of workshops coming up this winter and an exhibition, hopefully. Anyway, yeah, lots. Don't know. Also trying to renovate our building, so I might have to do a whole other kind of pivot and go back to online or offsite or come up with a new temporary space. I'm not really sure. So,
oh wow.
So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Just a little
more flux.
Reno.
Just to further complicate your pandemic years, you're going to renovate your space while you're doing
it. Yeah. I mean, ideally we would have done it over the last couple of years, you know, would have been perfect, but it just turns out there's a bunch of post pandemic infrastructure money available that we're trying to secure. So,
okay. All right. What about at the Owens, Emily?
So we have a really interesting exhibition opening in January toward the end that we organized with Carleton University Art Gallery. So it's called the Baroness Elsa Project, and it's a mixture of historical and contemporary art. So it's contemporary artists, but they're responding to the work and life of the Baroness. So her name is the Baroness Elsa von Freytag Loringhoven, and she was a Dadaist artist living in New York in the 20s. There was a kind of like speculation that she may have been responsible for Duchamp's urinal a few years ago. There was an art historian making this sort of speculation.
Right.
So she was friends with Duchamp and Joseph Stella and various other, you know, interesting people in the sort of New York Dadaist scene. And so some of her work and some archival materials will be alongside the work of about 8 artists, contemporary artists from Canada and the US. And then in the spring and over the summer, we're gonna have a salon hanging. So people who've been waiting for that exhibition to happen again, it hasn't happened in a few years. That will be their moment.
All right. What about the sweetest little thing? Is that going to be something that happens? Speaking of collaborations between Struts and Owens, is that going to be something that happens?
Yes, absolutely. It's happening on Valentine's Day. It will be online. We decided this recently, and the last sweetest little thing was so awesome. It worked out so well online that we know we can do it again, and it'll be great. I know everybody was looking forward to maybe having something in person, but we're not there yet. clearly.
Yeah. It seems like you could have started planning, but you'd have to probably change things. Good enough. We'll look forward to it online again this year.
It's going to be great. I'm really excited. We have the same people who helped us make the last one a success are involved in this one. So I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah. All right.
We've already got a new work just came in not moments ago from Toronto. We've got about 70 artists have already confirmed.
Oh, awesome. Pretty exciting. Yeah. That's wow. Good.
Yeah. We're meeting tomorrow, so we'll know more. We'll know more tomorrow.
So people should save a little in their art budget. If you haven't already spent it all at the holiday members show at Struts, then you can reserve.
Absolutely.
Some.
And yeah. Also start planning your outfits.
Right. All right.
Your virtual outfit.
That's right.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate both of you taking the time to speak with us today. And any final thoughts before I let you go?
Well, just have a happy holiday. It's really nice to be back in Sackville. A big reason I came back was because of this community and just the ability to actually have an impact and to make some fun things happen. There's a bunch, so many people are just so positive and up for things. And that's what kind of makes it an enriching place to live. So happy new year.
Yeah, I can't add anything to that. That's perfect.
All right.
Happy new year, everybody.
Thank you very much, folks. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye now.
Have a great day.
That was Struts Gallery Director Paul Henderson and Director of the Owens, Emily Falvey, speaking with me a few weeks ago for a little year-end conversation on the art scene in New Brunswick. You've been listening to Tantramar Report. This is our final holiday show. We'll be back with you on Wednesday with regular programming.